But take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, please. The book of the Revelation. And lot going on in this chapter number 3. And the reason that we kind of got started in these seven churches, and we're on the last one tonight, the church at Laodicea, is the phrase got a hold of my heart: he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, if we come in here every Sunday and all you hear is what the preacher says, then we failed. We need to let the Spirit of God speak to our heart.
Amen.
And you know what? He can speak to our heart during the offering. He can speak to our heart while the choir's singing.
Amen.
He can speak to our heart, amen, while the special's being sung. And we just, you know, what if we just made it a point, even before we come through the door, just ask God, speak to my heart. Lord, have your way in my life. Amen. I'll tell you, I think that'd be good. The Bible said in verse 14 of chapter number 3, the Bible said, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Father, add your blessings to the reading of thy word and help us tonight that we might be a help. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's get right into it tonight and see what God would say to us concerning the church at Laodicea. The name Laodicea means rule of the people. This church well represents a church that's run by majority rule instead of God. Its name designates it as the church of mob rule, the democratic church, in which everything is swayed and decided by popular opinion, clamor, and voting. I read that. A guy by the name of Seiss, S-E-I-S-S, said that. But when I read that, I thought about something. If you read the Old Testament, God sent 10 spies to spy out the land. Is that right?
Amen.
And was it 10? Am I right about that? It was 10? And the majority of them said, don't go. The majority was wrong.
Amen.
You got that? Only two, Joshua and Caleb, said, we're well able. Amen. And they knew they were well able because God was the one that made them able. Amen. And I want to give you some things tonight. I'm breaking it down into three areas tonight. It's the case against lukewarmness. There's a case being made here against lukewarmness. And then the cause of lukewarmness. And this is the way God outlined it in my heart. Then the cure for lukewarmness. Amen. And so let's dig into it tonight. First of all, I want to say about the case against lukewarmness. It was spoken in truth. The Word of God said, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. This is not somebody that's guessing about the condition at Laodicea. This is someone who knows. His name is Jesus. Amen. And beloved, I believe tonight it would do us good to understand that this case that's being built against this church is spoken in truth and it's spoken by the Lord Jesus. The second thing I want to say is it's a case that's way too often, amen, the case. If we go throughout the land, how many's ever heard Brother Key stand here in this pulpit and tell us, don't take for granted. You know why? Because he travels. He travels. And I traveled for 10 years with Rock of Ages Ministries. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. You better not take for granted what you have here at Bible Way. Amen. I'm telling you, it can go out the door. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight that, listen, when God is having his way among his people, he's pleased. Amen. And it's a case that's way too common. I walked into churches, my wife and I, and she will tell you. I mean, I would get up and look down and make sure my zipper was up. Amen. They looked at me like I was a Martian. Amen. I'm a missionary. I'm going to a church to present the work. And they look at me like, oh my goodness, what are you? Where did you come from? Amen. They have no idea that the gospel is supposed to go around the world. And that the church is supposed to be the one sending that gospel around the world. And I'm not talking about, beloved, in New York. I'm talking about in Tennessee, within 25 miles of where I'm standing tonight. A coldness and a lukewarmness that I never experienced before. And so that's too often, way too often, it's common in our land. And then it's a case that does not end well. Look what the Word of God said in verse number 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I don't know about you tonight, and I'm not trying to be gross, but one of the worst things I ever experienced in life is getting sick at my stomach. I don't like to be around it when somebody else is sick. I don't like to be sick at my stomach. But it would break my heart tonight to think that I was living my life in such a way that I was making my Lord sick at his stomach, amen, and that he would have to spew me out of his mouth. I don't want that. It's a case that does not end well. And then it's a case that's given a warning. Look what the Bible said in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art poor and wretched and miserable, wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. I read this by Charles Spurgeon. It was in a sermon that he delivered entitled, An Earnest Warning Against Lukewarmness. And this is what he said. They have prayer meetings, but there are few present, for they like quiet evenings at home. He said, when more attend the meetings, they are still very dull, for they do their praying very deliberately, aren't afraid of being too excited. They are content to have all things done decently and in order, but vigor and zeal are considered to be vulgar. I'm going to tell you something. You can go in some places, beloved, and if you say, praise the Lord, you're out of place. Amen. That had ought to be the way in the house. You wait till we get to heaven and see what's going on. Amen. Old Brother Mays Jackson, he used to tell it like it was. He said, I can't wait on some of you dead-headed Baptists come through the gate in glory. He said, you're going to kick up your heels and say, glory! And he said, I'm going to tell you, I told you that good all along, and you wouldn't listen. Amen. They may have schools and Bible classes and preaching rooms and all sorts of agencies, but they might as well be without them, for there's no energy that's displayed and no good comes of them. They have deacons and elders who are excellent pillars of the church, and if the chief quality of the pillars be to stand still and exhibit no emotion, amen, or motion. The pastor does not fly very fair in preaching the everlasting gospel, and he certainly has no flame of fire in his preaching. The pastor may be a shining light of eloquence. I don't have any trouble with that. I don't even know how to be eloquent. Amen. When I miss it, I just look over there and watch her frown. Amen. My precious wife. Amen. He said the pastor may be a shining light of eloquence, but he certainly is not a burning light of grace setting men's hearts on fire. Everything is done in a half-hearted, listless, dead and alive way, as if it did not matter much. whether it was done or not. What if we understood that every service matters? Every time we come through the door, it matters. Amen. I believe that. And he said, things are respectably done. The rich families are not offended, and the skeptical party is conciliated, and the good people are not quite alienated. Things are made pleasant all around. That's how Charles Spurgeon described the lukewarm church. Amen. He said, the right things are done, but as to doing them with all of your might. How many knows that's scriptural? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it with all your might. Amen. That's what the Word of God said. And soul and strength, a Laodicean church has no notion of what that means. They are not so cold as to abandon their work or to give up their meetings for prayer or to reject the gospel. They're just lukewarm. Beloved, listen, they're neither hot for the truth nor for conversions, nor hot for holiness. They are not fiery enough to burn the stubble of sin, nor zealous enough to make Satan angry, nor fervent enough to make a living sacrifice of themselves upon the altar of their God. They are neither cold nor hot. I love this, beloved. It said here, it is one thing in how the church sees itself. It's quite another in how Christ sees the church. Amen. I couldn't help but think, Brother John, of you teaching Sunday school, and I've heard you say it several times. When I read that, how Jesus sees the church, I couldn't help but think about what Brother John has said a couple different times. He said this, I don't think we're doing as good as we think we are. Is that pretty close, Brother John? And then he would follow it with this, we could do better. How many raise both hands and I'd say, we could do better, amen. We could pray more. We could study more. We could witness more. We could do more. We could be all more on fire for God than what we are, amen. Oh, beloved, if we're not careful, we'll settle down on our knees and we'll be just like the church at Laodicea, lukewarm, amen. There's some things about Laodicea that I wrote down here that I wanted to share with you tonight, some things that I really didn't know until I studied. It was an important, wealthy city, and most of its population was Jewish. It was a center for Caesar worship and the worship of the healing god called Asclepius. After an earthquake devastated the region in AD 60, Laodicea refused imperial help to rebuild the city. Now listen, if you know these things, then you know why Jesus is saying what he's saying. They didn't want any help. They wanted to rely only on their own resources. They didn't need outside help. They didn't ask for it. They didn't want it. Laodicea was too rich to accept help from anyone. The Roman historian tells us Laodicea rose from the ruins by the strength of her own resources and with no help from us. Laodicea was a city that was easily conquered. So you know what they did? When the enemy come along, they just compromised with them. Yeah. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
Listen, if you take a glass of hot water and you start dropping ice cubes in it, you know what happens after a while? That water will turn lukewarm. And then after a while, beloved, it will get cold. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart what I studied about is the water system. It come through an aqueduct. And it came a long way before it got to the city. And it came out of a hot spring. It was hot when it came out. But by the time it got to the city, it was just lukewarm. All these things, beloved, makes us understand why Jesus is approaching this church the way that he is. They were very familiar. He said, you're rich, you're increased with goods, you have need of nothing. Honey, we need him tonight. I'm going to tell you something right now. I thank God for the good people that give. And I thank God, beloved, that we're not pinching pennies. I do. But I tell you, we need him more than we need a dollar bill. We need him more than we need anything in this world. We need him. We need him. And we need him every hour.
Amen.
We need him every minute.
Amen.
We need him every second. If you take a breath into your lungs tonight, you couldn't do that without him.
Right.
In Him we live and move and have our being. And He was speaking that to lost people. Amen. Lost people are breathing God's air. They just don't understand it yet. Amen. God has given them everything that they have. There's the case against lukewarmness. Then there's the cause. I thought about something every once in a while, not too often, but every once in a while I'll cook an egg. And you say, why not too often? Because my wife does it most of the time. She does it for me. She loves me. And now I don't do too good at cooking the meat, but you know, I usually have her fry up some extra, and I can do a microwave for 25 seconds and make two pieces of sausage sizzle. Amen. Amen. Fry me an egg to go with it. But you know what you got to do? That eye'll get too hot on you if you ain't careful. And you know what happens? The cause of lukewarmness, the source of heat's turned down. How many knows where the source is tonight? Now listen, I don't want to bust your bubble, but church is just part of it. Every one of us have access to the throne of God. Every one of us have a Bible. Amen. And that's the source of heat. Amen. And you start turning down your Bible time, turning down your prayer time. And it ain't going to be too long, beloved. You've gotten away from the source. Amen. And then if you move away from the fire, the Word of God said, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. This book, beloved, will break you down like a shotgun. Amen. It'll help you. Amen. And it'll help me. Jeremiah, he got discouraged and he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to quit. And then this verse come in. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But, I told you Sunday, I like that word. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. You know what, beloved, listen to me. Listen to me. God's warmed my heart before when I didn't even have my Bible open. Let me tell you why. Because I'd already been hiding it right there. Say amen. You say, you're going to quit? Try it. Amen. I like what one preacher told a young preacher. He said, if you can quit, you ought to. Say amen. He said, you ought to. If you can, you ought to. Yeah, I tell you what, I believe in God's being. I believe God put a fire down in their bosom. Amen. He put that word of God down on the inside of them. Amen. And I believe that's the cause, the source of heat's turned down, move away from the fire. Then those ice cubes I talked about a while ago, mingling with the world. Amen. I went to Dollywood years ago. Was it Dollywood? Yeah, it was Dollywood. I've been there. I hate to tell you this, but I've been there when it was Silver Dollar City. Amen. Is there anybody else in the house that's been there? Did I say that right? Was it Silver Dollar City?
Yeah.
Amen. And I went down to Dollywood and they was having that gospel singing week. And I sat under a tabernacle down there. And I looked around and saw people that I knew. And they was sitting there listening to that good gospel singing. And brother, they as dead as a hammer. Now listen to me. I'm just telling you, beloved. I ain't nobody, but I got excited. Amen. They sung that song last night. I had a birth I can't remember and one I can't forget. I could remember the first time I heard the Compton sing that song. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. It should stir us when we hear God's word, whether it's in song, whether it's preaching, whether somebody's quoting the word of God. And I believe, listen, one of the things that happens, you start mingling with the world and it'll cool that fire down. Amen. I remember a fellow, he got saved and he had lived a rough life and his wife, and he had one son, and they got saved. And boy, I'll tell you, they're on fire for the Lord. And they went down there to Dollywood. I don't know if it's Dollywood or Silver Dollar City, is years ago. They went down there and they sat down at the table, and they had been asking the blessing at home, Brother Chuck, every time they ate. They sat down there and they looked at each other and they just started digging into that barbecue sandwich, just like Jesus.
Jesus had a family come in, sit down on the other side of the table. Amen. They laid their sandwich out on the table and they held hands and prayed over it. He said, God convicted him so bad. He said, I'll never eat another bite without asking God to bless it. He said, what are you trying to say? Listen, if you ask a blessing at home, you ought to ask it anywhere you go. And if you don't ask a blessing at home, you ought to. Why? Because it adds to the fire. Amen. The fuel, amen. Let me encourage you to do something. I like doing it. I don't do it all the time. It's not just a habit. But when you thank God for your food, let me encourage you to do something. Why don't you just remember? Just say, Lord, there's people in the world that would love to have what I'm about to partake of. I'm telling you, there are children in the world that are eating out of trash cans and dumpsters. Amen. And some of them can't even get that. You say, well, Pastor, that's their fault. Not always. Would somebody help me tonight? Sometimes it may be, but not always. God's been better to us than we ever deserve. We sit down and eat like a bunch of hogs and don't even look up and find out where the acorns come from. Amen. I'm telling you, God has blessed us. Amen. And we need to get back, beloved, to that place of blessing. The cause of lukewarmness. What's the cure for lukewarmness? Let me give you a couple things tonight and we'll go. The cure, number one, is found in our riches. You say, now, Pastor, that don't make any sense. You're not going to find a cure for lukewarmness in your riches. You are if you really know what makes you rich. It ain't your 401k. It ain't your salary. It ain't your bank account. It ain't the worth of your property. I love that song. It talks about us being a child of the King. Amen. Royalty. Amen. Did you know tonight, beloved, listen, the Bible said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now listen, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's nothing wrong with wanting to drive a nice vehicle, not wanting to live in a nice home. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with wanting to advance on the job. Amen. As long as you do it right. Somebody help me right there. There are some people that have run plumb over you to get an advancement. Amen. We ought to be Christians about it. Amen. But I want to tell you this tonight. That's not what makes God's people rich. Laodicea said, we're rich, we're increased with goods, and we had need of nothing. And it was a rich city, and they were a proud city. Amen. I've said this before, I'll say it again. When I was growing up, it was nothing. It would happen several times a month. Rick, go over there. I can't remember the lady's name now, but it was about a mile and a half walk to our neighbors. And borrow me a couple eggs. Borrow me a cup of sugar. Borrow me a couple meal. I'm telling you, I've been over there. Borrow me three slices of cheese. And it went both ways. They would come over and borrow from us. And you tell her, when Daddy gets paid Thursday, we'll bring it back. Whatever, if it's a cup of sugar, then a cup of sugar went back. If it's two eggs, then two eggs went back. But you know what I believe? I believe in this generation we're so proud. We'd drive 100 miles to a Walmart, amen, before we'd go next door and ask for a cup of water, amen. I'm telling you, that's not good for us, amen. And let me say this. I believe the closer we get to His coming, the more we're going to need Him and the more we're going to need each other, amen. And there, as far as I'm concerned, there ain't nothing wrong with that, amen. Did you know if I get up in the morning and my retirement, which I didn't have a dime before I came to this church. This church has been good to me. My retirement's gone. You think I'm going to blow my brains out because the stock market went upside down? Ain't no way. My God will still be sitting on the throne. He's fed me when I didn't have a dime in the bank, and He'll feed me again. Say amen. I believe that. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that. It's found in our riches, the cure for lukewarmness. And then it's found in our raiment.
If we just remember, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. I preached a message one time on some things I found in the closet. Jesus said, enter into your closet when you pray. How many remembers that?
Amen.
And I see if I can remember some of these things I found in the closet. Well, one of the first things I found in the closet was clothes. When we go to the Lord in prayer, we ought to realize the only reason we're we're welcome in that throne room is because we got the right garment on.
Amen.
It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sees that, says, come on in here. I'm all ears. Amen. I believe that. What else do you find in the closet? You find shoes. Having our feet shod with the gospel. The preparation of the gospel of peace.
Amen.
What else do you find in the closet? How many's got some junk in your closet? Would you be honest with me just a minute? Amen. You know what you can find, Brother Caleb, if you'll stay in the closet? You can find Lindsay's junk. No. No, God will show us the junk in our own lives. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. He'll show us the junk. And then you'll find something else. How many goes on a trip and you'll hide something valuable in the closet? You ever done that? You'll find out what's really valuable if you'll spend some time in the closet. Amen. And I'll tell you something else you'll find in the closet. You'll find a shelf. What would it be like, Brother Vince, to be set on the shelf? Never to be used of God again. Because we allowed our hearts to get lukewarm. We didn't spend time with God next to the fire in the closet. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. This crowd running around this country, they've tried to mess up everything that's right. They talk about coming out of the closet. They talk about the rainbow. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. They can't even come up with something original. Somebody help me tonight.
Amen.
But I thank God tonight. He said, go in your closet. And you'll realize, beloved, you're somebody. There may be times when you feel like you ain't nobody. That may not be good English, but it's good preaching. I'm going to tell you this tonight. You are somebody. If you've been to Calvary, your sins are forgiven. You just wait till you get home, honey.
Amen.
You're somebody. And we ought to be proud of that. And then it's found in realizing. Notice what the Bible said. We'll see our condition and we'll see Christ and we'll see the cure. He said here, thou mayest buy, mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. I didn't know this until today. I was just reading up, doing a little study on Laodicea. They were famous for producing eye salve. I didn't know that. Jesus is speaking to them. Ain't he good at that? He speaks to us in a language where we can understand it. Amen. You know why? Because he loves us. That woman at the well, he didn't go up there and start talking about a foundation. He went up there and started talking about water. Help me tonight.
Amen.
He met people where they were.
Amen. True.
We can see that cure. This is what Spurgeon said. He said, now, lukewarm professor, what do worldlings see in you? They see a man who says he's going to heaven, but is only traveling at a snail's pace. He professes to believe that there is a hell, yet he has no tears in his eyes. And never seeks to snatch souls from going down into the pit. They see before them one who has to deal with eternal realities, yet he is but half awake. One who professes, boy, I tell you what, to sit under Spurgeon would be rough, wouldn't it? One who's half awake, who professes to have passed through a transformation so mysterious and wonderful that there must be, if it is true, a vast change in the outward life as a result of it. Yet they see him as much like themselves as can be. That reminds me of that preacher that said the church is so worldly and the world is so churchy that you can't hardly tell the difference.
Amen.
I'll tell you something tonight. We don't need a rock band. We don't need smoke coming up out of the stage or fireworks coming up out of the stage. We need the fire of God in our hearts. That's what we need. He may be morally consistent in his general behavior, but they see no energy in his religious character. I'll tell you tonight, what a rebuke. And then God, it also
it tells us here that it'll be found, the cure for lukewarmness in his rebuke. Look in verse 19. As many as I love, he said, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I want to tell you something tonight. It's not pleasant when God has to rebuke me. It's not pleasant when God has to rebuke you. But I tell you something, it is pleasant to know that he loves us. Brother Gary, I've told 100 people, at least, what you said to me 6 months after I came to this church. I preached a message, one of them that would peel the paint off the wall. I don't like preaching like that. Brother Gary looked at me and said, Pastor, we don't care how rough it gets as long as we know you love us. I can look at Jesus and I say, Lord Jesus, I don't mind how rough it don't. I don't care how rough it gets as long as I know you love me. He loves us tonight. He loves us too much to let us go on in a lukewarm, sickening condition. That's the God I serve. Then it's found in repenting. The word of God said in verse number 19 there, be zealous therefore and repent. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Watch this. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I'll leave you with this tonight. The ideal behind the word for beginning, it's an ancient Greek word, and you pronounce it arche. It's spelled A-R-C-H-E, which we might say arch, but it's pronounced arche, is that of a ruler, a source, or origin, not a first in sequential order. This verse does not teach that Jesus was the first being created, but that he is the ruler. He is the source. And he is the origin of all creation. I like that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. I believe this. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And I thank God for the day the light shined in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. Thank the Lord for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Not a created being. That's where a lot of religions mess up. But the Creator of heaven and earth. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? How many have said, Pastor, I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't either. I don't either. Let's not take for granted his presence, his power. Amen. Let's pray.